My name's Ricky, I'm an addict.
Hi, Ricky.
Thanks, Ian, for asking me, and you know, I thank the group for asking me. It's not the first time I've shared, and I feel quite more relaxed than when I first shared it a good few years ago. And you know, I am an addict. I've been obsessing ever since I come off the train about a few lines my first sponsor gave me about this program, kind of. And I still can't fucking remember it. And I thought I'd have it in my phone, or I thought I'd WhatsApp it, you know, like, you know, I'll quickly rewind a bit to get to that point, because it's really important. But, you know, I've been in recovery for over 7.5 years, and unfortunately, and maybe fortunately, that I had a slip up in that time, and I'm just over 4 years, 7 months. And, yeah, so, you know, when I got my first sponsor, it was like 10 days clean, and, you know, he had enough time at that time. He was just over 2 years clean. He had a program, and we got cracking with the work at 10 days, and I was at his house every other day, and we were studying the basic text. And what I was trying to remember is that there was a few lines he told me to write down, and the first line I can't remember. I still can't get it out of my head, but I'm just going to say what I think it is, which is a problem, because I've got a thinking problem. It said, action equals, and Archie might know it, I don't know, but we was in the same sort of sponsorship group, and not group, family, I'd say. And it was action equals thinking different than feeling something. But I definitely remember the rest of it. It said, we don't get results from thinking differently, because our thinking, which is addiction, is the problem. So we act differently, and it's an action program. And ever since I've come into recovery and learned this program, the only time I've felt better and got results is through my actions. And the first simple actions was just following the suggestions by my sponsor, to pray in the morning, read the Just for Today, write a gratitude list, and call him for 30 days. And throughout the day, it would be like attend a meeting, or maybe two. In my case, it was two. I could get to two, and you know, because I was unemployable at the time, and call two recovering addicts. I normally called newcomers or people around my time, and if I mustered up some courage, I call an old timer to get a bit of wisdom. And you know, at that time, I just didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I just followed this guy's suggestions, and it kept me clean. And yeah, the other thing was to get a home group. I got a home group quite quickly. I got the home group. I got clean in, because I was going there 7 weeks plus a few other meetings before I got clean, because I wanted to stop using. And so I reduced and I got a day clean. And I still serve at that group over 7.5 years. And the other great suggestion he gave me was to attend step meetings. And I still, you know, I do more step meetings today than any other meetings. I mean, only my new sponsor, who I've had over a year, suggests two meetings a week. obviously, because I can't get to more, because I have a full-time job, I have a life, I have a relationship. I try to take care of my elderly parents when I can. But I do three. You know, I get very sick just doing two. So I do three. I still work with three sponsors at the moment. Keeps me in check. And, I still put my recovery first, especially since I learned from my relapse that recovery is very important and staying clean is very important. So, you know, I came in, I used for about 25 years. I was every kind of addict, from stealing from the family, you know, running my own business, spending all the profits, running down the aisles of Sainsbury's, nicking gammons during the winter time, and shotting them on the estates, you know. I used to go in crack houses with a suit on after work from my office, and the addicts there used to always say, Ricky, this don't suit you, and you're going to lose your family, and I just don't listen. And I've really learned the hard way in recovery that when I don't listen, I'll get into trouble. Recently, I wasn't listening to my partner who's in recovery, and I wasn't really connecting with my sponsor, but it's a pattern what took me out when I relapsed. And you know, I lied to myself, so, and it's so believable that I realised for 6 months I was just kind of coasting, and I was thinking, why am I getting so resentful? And I'm writing out a step four. I'm actually reading out a third step four and five tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock, around my sponsors. And I'm really looking forward to that. And, you know, when I first came, like I said, I just followed the suggestions. I worked through the steps, and I got a lot of knowledge from the, working with my sponsor and the basic techs, and attending many meetings, meeting so many people. But when I relapsed, it really kind of humbled me. My addiction, which I had to learn about when I got clean, what was the disease of addiction? My sponsor was quite clued up about it, and he taught me about what I suffer from. But the pain I felt from what my relapse did to my spirit was nothing compared to 25 years. 25 years of using and getting clean. My first year clean, I was just loving it. I had no responsibility. It was the end of a 17-year marriage. My ex-wife filed for divorce. I had three beautiful children, and the only responsibility I had was recovery. And recovery was, you know, my responsibility, and it was the only responsibility, and I really nurtured it. But after about a year, I stopped getting honest with myself, getting honest in inventories. And one of the biggest parts of relapsing was obsessing over a female, and not listening to my sponsor that I picked up. And I didn't tell no one. For 16 months, every week, I was telling myself, on the weekend, I'll get clean on my own. And, you know, from the moment I picked up, it was just once, and then the second week, it was twice. And then by the end of the month, I had to go to drug services for a script because I didn't want to use every day and I didn't want to tell anyone. And, you know, after a 16-month run, it kind of snowballed really slowly. I ended up on my sponsor's couch and detoxing for a week. And it was horrendous. And it was the winter time, December 19th. And when I first got clean, it was through the winter time. And I went in the toilets earlier and I thought, if only I got clean in this heat, because it was like a sweat box in there and it would have been so easy, you know. But my last relapse, my last withdrawal taught me that, you know, me as an addict, I could go through many withdrawals, no problem. But the mental obsession and what damage it does to my spirit, I couldn't go through that again. And, you know, my sponsor said to me, you know, I was saying, I can't use. And we was working through step one, he was really trying hard for me to get honest with myself. And he said, well, Ricky, you can use, and you did use, but do you really want to use? And I said, I don't want to use. And in over four and a half years or so in recovery, I've been through a lot. I'm talking about pain, and as an addict, I grow through pain, and I put myself in situations, or, you know, I don't allow myself in situations, but just life on life term is not so easy sometimes. But I've never wanted to pick up. Every time I get into a place of pain, no matter how long it's been, I do what's suggested. I know I've got a toolbox, and I'll pick up the phone. My first point of call was my sponsor, and normally is, but if I can't get him, I go to my higher power. And that to me simply just means, if I'm running around at work, I'll step aside for 5 minutes, even 30 seconds. I have a little prayer. It could be as simple as serenity prayer, or just simple as, can you help me? Just to pause and allow myself to calm down a bit before I make the next move. Because I run on impulse, and I make some real rash, decisions. Thank you. And, I've learned through my recovery and my mistakes, I've kind of grown. I wanted to share a couple of things I remember. And one was when I got clean, after about a week of getting clean, you know, I got into my home group and I was a chair finder, and I didn't want no one to take my position. I had all these lovely chairs booked, I had loads of people working the program and the fellowship, and the group was waiting for me to hand my commitment in, and I got all arrogant and I said no, and they voted me off, and I got pissed off, I got resentful, and my sponsor pulled me out. He said, you know, you need to ask them if they can give you a position, like even sweep the floor, because you need a commitment. And after, you know, they did give me one, and then it was male greeter. I've done twice male greeting, and I love being at the forefront of my home group, because I've always loved, inviting visitors and newcomers. And after 2 weeks, he said to me, you've got to watch your actions and attitudes. And I thought, what the fuck's he on about? And I really weren't in a good place anyway. In the first year, it was battling against my head, telling me, you know, no one can tell me nothing, and I don't want to hear nothing, I don't want to share nothing. And then after 3 weeks, he said, your actions are okay now, but your attitude. And I think, what the fuck? I don't give it a big one. You know, maybe I did in the first year when I come around, like, you know, all the banter and everything. And what I realised, he's talking about humility. Now, my relapse, you know, I learned a lot about humility. My addiction really humbled me. The power of my addiction humbled me. And in the book, it says in step 7, humility is as much a part of staying clean as food and water are to staying alive. Now, humility starts at step 1. It's a principle in step 1. But humility is required throughout the steps in my experience. Otherwise, the steps don't work for me. And, you know, I also heard that humility is also not thinking less of myself. So I don't beat myself up, but thinking of myself less. So when I move myself out of the way and don't think I'm so important, I can be there for others and help others. I heard somewhere else in a wedding of my cousin's, a friend of his says, if you get humble, you won't tumble and avoid a rumble. And that one like made me laugh, and I thought it's so true. It's a very simple thing in the text. It says we don't have to understand this program for it to work. All we have to do is follow direction. You know, I've got a sponsor, I followed his direction to get what he's got, and I got what he got. He's got a 12-step program. He gave me a 12-step program. I've got a new sponsor to enhance that 12-step program. I still live by the program my first sponsor taught me, and I always will. So I'm going through steps just to grow. And, you know, getting clean is not enough for me. You know, I can stay clean and crazy, but it's no point. I'd rather be using drugs, to be honest. Even today, I'm nearly 49. I've got a beautiful life. But I'm not going to stay insane. So I had to get clean and change by doing the steps and practicing them. And it's a lifelong process for me. You know, I don't get it perfect all the time. I'm not a perfect human, but I just do my best. Every day I wake up, the first thing, don't use drugs. And then I've got a chance to better myself and enjoy life as best I can. I continue this for a lifetime. That's my commitment. You know, when I got clean, even before I got to the first step, and one of the first step commitments is to carry on with the rest of the program and basically, you know, stay clean by living the program. That's my commitment to live the NA way. I live the NA way as best I can. Even in the outside world, I try my best to, you know, my head tries to fit in with the outside world, but I always have to come back here. Today's Just For Today reading ended on, by basing my life on it, I know I will grow. And by me basing my life on the NA program, I have grown. I came in at 40. I was probably about, I felt like 10, 11 years old. I couldn't even look at anyone. I'm nearly 49. I've still got a lot of growth to do. I know there's, a lot of old timers in NA who've stuck around. And a lot of people in my time I've seen come in and out. And, the wisdom in these rooms shared by, any member who's living and trying their best to live this program is invaluable and it really helps everyone. I've got a great passion for this program, and I'm here to stay. I'm not here to go, so thanks. I'll leave it there.